Let's just pray. Father, we just want to thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord God, for your prophetic revelation. We just pray by the power of your Spirit, Lord God, that you will minister to us today, give us revelation of your heart, open up our eyes, stir our spirit to embrace your prophetic calling on our lives, to embrace our destiny as your people. We just thank you that you're calling us for a time such as this to your kingdom, to see your kingdom come, your will done on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, we just bless you and we thank you for all that you're doing, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we've been looking at this timetable for a long time. But I want to look today particularly at this part on the second thing, releasing a Joshua generation. And I know some of you have been a little bit confused. What is a Joshua generation? Where do I fit? Am I in the Joshua generation? You don't want to be in the Moses generation. But there is another generation, Jesus generation, which are going to see Jesus return. But God is releasing a generation to prepare others. And this word really got to me in terms of, I had revelation of it when I was on the fast last year. Actually, it was like, it was 12 months and I was actually in that fast right now. So I was first week praying for you at this time in the second heaven. But before that, I was really moved, as I shared last time, one day when I saw a whole new, old generation passing away and a new generation being raised up. And it really got me, right? It really got me in the guts. And I knew God was saying something significant about this. And so the Moses generation, why is it, why, and what happened to that Moses generation? Why is it important for us to understand what it's about? 1 Corinthians 10:1 says, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea." There's a lot of alls in this passage. And they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and they all ate the same spiritual food. They all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, most of them God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now these things happened as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also craved. And there was a sense that although God showed them the promise and the promised land, they actually refused that and wanted to continue in operating in the place they were and operating in the strength of their own understanding. And it goes on in that passage, "Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it's written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play, or nor let us act immorally as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents. Nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer." Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. So that is an indication that this is really important, because we don't want to miss what God is doing. And we need to be aware of the things that can make us miss it. And that's why purifying our hearts and being in a process right now of the fire of God's presence being here to make us clean, cleanse us, prepare us, refine us is important. So we don't want to operate in idolatry. We know idolatry is about putting things before God and having stumbling blocks in our hearts are idols, and God is gathering those stumbling blocks and removing them from us. And the key here for us to understand is that God is giving us an opportunity and giving us our generation an opportunity to choose. Obviously there's illustrations of this story, Egypt, coming out of Egypt, like bondage of salvation and crossing the Red Sea, baptism in water, pillar of cloud and fire, baptism in the Holy Spirit. The wilderness, a time of testing and preparation and transformation. Crossing the Jordan, embracing destiny. Not all of them wanted to embrace destiny. Promised land, kingdom, inheritance, where there needs to be giant killing. And God has called us to be giant killers. And that promised land is not just physical, although there is a physical nature to it. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, just as Adam and Eve were given the mandate to bring God's kingdom onto earth and to subdue and overcome and to rule. That's all part of it. But there's a dimension that God is bringing his people into, which goes beyond the physical and beyond the spiritual dimension here into the third and second heaven realms. And the promised land for us is not just the good things here on earth. It's actually embracing all the things that are ours in the third heaven, from the place where we're seated in the heavenly places, into the second heaven, where we should have authority. And that's the area where most of the battles are going to take place. Yeah, we're going to see things take place here where we have to take ground, see people's lives transformed and through deliverance and healing and that type of thing. But actually, it goes way beyond that into taking the place of authority in the second heaven, where we have thrones of authority as a church, where other churches and other things of people of God have thrones of authority that most people have no understanding of because they've never been there. Occupying the courts of the second heaven and making the declarations there that are going to bring people into freedom and release in this realm is something we really need to get hold of and embrace. I'm hoping Ian Clayton's going to share some of that next week because I know he's got real revelation on that stuff. But to go to the second heaven courts is a really key revelation, and it's part of our promised land revelation. In Numbers 13:30, this is what happened when the children of Israel were brought to the edge of the promised land. And Caleb quietened the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it." But the men who'd gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they're too strong for us." So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone in, spying it out, is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size." They also saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, as part of the Nephilim, and we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, so were we in their sight. Now, this is what caused them to fail to inherit. When they were given the choice to choose whether they were going to enter or not, Joshua and Caleb brought the positive report that, yes, this is our land, we can possess it, and we can overcome, and the others saw the obstacles, particularly the giants. And you know, the Nephilim, the whole Nephilim revelation about the Nephilim and who they are and what they're doing is a key understanding. But they saw them and they backed off. They were not prepared to go in and fight the fight and take possession of the land. And as a result of that, that whole generation missed out on what God wanted them to do. In Numbers 14:21, in spite of that people say no, God's thing was, "Indeed, as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord." In spite of a generation saying no, God still was going to raise up another generation. Because God's will be done. His kingdom will come and fill the earth, one way or another. It's whether you want to be part of it or not. All the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. And for those who didn't embrace that, verse 29 says, "Your corpses will fall in the wilderness, even your numbered men, according to your complete number from 20 years old and upward, who have grumbled against me." There was a whole lot of people 20 years and up who were part of those who were responsible, if you like, for saying no, who would fail to go in. And yet there was a whole lot of people who were under the age of 20 who were there who would go in. And so quite a number of people have been part of that generation, who've been in the wilderness, who've been prepared, who will still go into the land because they will raise up and go forward where their fathers said no. And God is calling that people forth. And verse 30, "Surely you will not come into the land in which I swore to you, except Caleb and Joshua." Caleb and Joshua were keys to the Joshua generation. How they lived, how they acted, what they did looking at their lives is a really important thing. If we're going to understand what we're going to do to inherit and become those people, we need to understand what that Joshua generation is. The Moses generation failed to receive their inheritance and died in the wilderness. The Joshua generation are going to equip, I believe, a billion-fold harvest of laborers in the supernatural. Because whatever we're going to do is going to be in the supernatural realm of the kingdom of God. It's not going to be by natural means. It's not by might or strength or anything like that that we've got. It's going to be in the supernatural power of God. And we have to equip this next generation to be operating in the fullness of God's kingdom power, in the fullness of that dimension. That's why we have to take back ground that's been given to the enemy. All the occult and all the new age people who are operating in power spiritually and are doing things that most of the church wouldn't even dream of being able to do, we have to take back that ground because they're occupying in counterfeits what we should be doing in the reality. And we have to stand up and be counted because it's going to need people who operate in the dimension of the supernatural beyond what any of us have experienced so far, who are going to be able to see this next generation raised up because of the opposition that we're going to face. And for that to take place, we have to be ready. And there's a whole different dimension in the realm of the supernatural that we have to be ready in, and God is going to lead us in it. We need to be equipping a generation to see Jesus return, you know, to see a final harvest when everybody who's going to be saved is going to be saved, and we want to see that take place. The Joshua generation were forerunners. Many of us, even people in this room, have been forerunners. You've experienced some of the things that are going to take place. You've glimpsed it. And in your spirit and in your heart, you know there's more. You know there's more. You've been hungry for more. And some of you have just, in all your life, just known there's more. You know, and you're not yet seen it, but you've been a forerunner. And there's going to be more forerunner things that take place. We're going to start to see more things that are just not the full dimension of it, but forerunners of it, because we're going to be called to spy out some of the land. There's been a whole generation crossing the Jordan to enter their inheritance and embrace their destiny. It's been going for quite a while. You know, I look back into the 80s and I can see the starting point for some of this stuff. Some of the things that were prophesied then, and people didn't know what they were prophesying really. And the things that they were saying about Joel's army and different things where they were talking about a whole different breed, where there were a nameless, faceless army of God's people who are going to be raised up, no superstars, but people who are just going to be raised up in the supernatural power of God. They started prophesying that stuff in the 80s. And they were starting to prophesy some of the things that we're now starting to see take place. And this generation has been entering in for that period of time, but we've not been any further than the other side of the Jordan. The church is still at that place called Gilgal, which is the place where the reproach of the past was removed, where they were circumcised again, where they took the Passover again. There were things which were reinstituted and redone at that point that prepared them to go and take the whole land and fight the giants. And I believe this is where the church is in these days, being prepared at that place. Some people have gone in, some people have spied further, but the general church is at that place, and people are still crossing over into that place. But we've got to go forward. The Joshua generation have lived through the wilderness preparation. Some of you have been living in that place for a long time, and it's now time to go forward. We've experienced fire and wine and the wind of the Spirit, but there's going to be more coming. We have to be able to lead and equip the generation to possess. And the word possess, the Hebrew word, means seizing, dispossessing, and becoming heirs of the land of promise. There's something about the violent taking the kingdom by force. These are warriors. The Joshua generation is a warrior generation. They're going to fight on behalf of others and bring them into the land. To bring God's kingdom on earth like it is in heaven, fulfilling Adam's mandate. In both realms, the spiritual realm and the natural realm, but we need to take and occupy that spiritual realm if we're going to bring the godly influence into the natural realm. We're going to bring others in and equip them to live in the promised land of possession. And the dimension of living there is going to be totally different. It's going to be a completely different dimension in terms of the realms of the supernatural, in what God is going to actually enable us to do. Everyone's called to enter. Whether you're the Joshua generation or a Jesus generation, we're all called to enter. Just some are called to go before and to equip, but all of us are called to enter into that place, unless you choose not to. Everyone's got a choice, but God is inviting people to enter in. You know, there were 2.5 tribes who crossed over to the Jordan, were part of fighting, and they chose to go back and live on the other side. You know, and there are some ministries who have been forerunner ministries who actually will choose to go back, and they'll miss out on the fullness of their inheritance. I don't want to be one of those. But I want to share 40 characteristics of the Joshua generation. I'm not going to do it all in one go. We'll do 2 weeks. 20 today and 20 next week. They're only short things, but...
Did you print out these 40 characteristics?
Yeah, no, I mean, you can have the slides. So yeah, no problem. First one, Joshua generation will be victorious warriors dependent on God's spirit for supernatural victory. Exodus 17 was the story where Moses was standing and he needed support for his hands. And in that, there was a supernatural dimension to what took place. And it says in verse 14, and this is the important bit, that the Lord said to Moses, write this in a book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua. Even at that point, Joshua was being prepared. Joshua had been called and he was being prepared. And what happened at that event was supernatural. And as a result of that, God says, I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. And there's something about Amalek, which I'll just share a little bit about it, but is really important that God wants it destroyed. And Moses built an altar and named it, the Lord is my banner. Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. And I'm telling you, you need to get hold of that. In your spirit, the Lord is my banner. Because that banner of victory, Jehovah Nissi, is going to be what enables us to overcome. And we need to get that right in our spirit. I know Joe will be making some banners which we'll use in this dimension of warfare, which will enable us to overcome. The Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation. This is something which God wants to equip us for, to actually see Amalek destroyed. Now Amalek, the Amalekites, were from Esau's line. They represent in Hebrew understanding evil, but they were inheritance robbers. They were those that competed for the promised land because they were coming from Abraham's line, as did Israel. For us, they represent the tares, the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod, who seek to rob us of our inheritance. And we need to destroy them. And we need to destroy it. There's going to be a battle in our generation to destroy those things. And we need to know the name of God, Jehovah Nissi. Because some of the things that we're going to see in this generation to come are going to blow your minds in terms of spiritual warfare and actual warfare in terms of what we have to do to set people free. When the world is falling apart, we have to be able to be raised up and to overcome, to be overcomers in spite of everything that's going on around us. So we need to know it. The second thing is the Joshua generation will have a servant heart. Matthew 11, about Jesus, when he said about those who are weary and heavy laden coming and finding rest, is a key scripture to understand about being servant hearted. Not doing things in your own strength, but knowing your identity as being a gentle and humble heart. That's what Jesus said. If you take my yoke upon you, you'll learn from me because I am gentle and humble in heart. And a servant-hearted generation are there to actually express that gentleness and humility of heart in knowing true identity and true authority and totally submitting it to God. Joshua had a call, and yet, in Exodus 24:13, there it says, Moses arose with Joshua his servant. Joshua served him. He was willing to serve. The third thing And this is going to take place more and more, and more and more of you are actually seeing this in the heavenly realms, and you're actually experiencing some of what this takes place. And there's so much more of this. Joshua generation will know the glory of God as a consuming fire. You know, in Exodus 24, Joshua also went up the mountain with Moses. Most people don't read that, but it's actually in there. Joshua went up with Moses. And what happened at the top of that thing in Exodus 24 there, the glory of the Lord rested on the Mount Sinai, the cloud covered it for 6 days, and to the eyes of the sons of Israel, the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the mountaintop. God is inviting everyone to come to the mountaintop, to come into the fiery smoke, to come into the consuming fire, and to meet him face to face. Face to face encounters will characterize the Joshua generation. Face-to-face encounters with God, where you look into his eyes. When you look into his eyes, it's like, well, you'll know when you look into his eyes what it's like. I ain't going to explain it now, but it's like, it's an awesome thing. The Joshua generation will be hungry and thirsty for the intimacy of God's presence. We cannot be satisfied with making do. We need the intimacy of God's presence. We need to press into it. We need to be so hungry and thirsty for righteousness and for God's presence that it's going to transform our lives. And God is going to start stirring that hunger. He's going to start stirring it by giving you experiences which make you crave and hunger more. Don't be satisfied with just an experience. It needs to become a lifestyle. We need to live in the presence of God in the dual realms of heaven and earth as a lifestyle. Therefore, we need to press in. In verse 11 of Exodus 33, thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. And when Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Joshua stayed in God's presence even after Moses left. And that will be a characteristic. When some people give up and they've had enough, the Joshua generation will press in for more. You're not going to be satisfied until you've got the fullness of your inheritance. That's what God is actually calling. The Joshua generation will be chosen as forerunners to enter the promised land. Some of you are going to have experiences which go beyond, and you're going to help other people to come into it. When I went on the fast and entered into a whole lot of heavenly encounters, my desire was to facilitate others coming in. We were talking about this at the prophetic meeting this morning in prayer. The desire is to open the door for others to come in. We're not forerunners to keep others out. We want to enter into experiences to encourage people to come in. Joshua and Caleb were sent out as spies. They saw the promises and they saw the giants firsthand. And they had a different attitude to the others. They were willing to press in. Number six, the Joshua generation will be men and women of faith who speak and live by the word of God. That was the difference between the generations, being able to live and speak the words of faith. Numbers 13:30, Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it." And in spite of opposition, Joshua and Caleb spoke out the promises of God. There is going to be so much opposition that comes. Most of it will be religious opposition from the institution of the church, which is out to rob the true church of authority and power. And there's going to be warfare. It's going to come. It's taken place before. Whenever God starts to do something new and fresh and pour out his spirit in a new way, previous generation opposes it. Because they don't want to give up control. You can't control this stuff. You have to go with what God is doing. The Joshua generation will not be into control, because they'll be gentle and humble of heart. We need to be willing to be men and women who live by faith and are unashamedly able to speak out the truth and challenge people's understanding and challenge the things that have robbed people. And it's going to cause trouble, but we have authority and we're going to see people rescued from that. Seven, the Joshua generation will have and operate in a militant spirit. they will fully follow the Lord. Numbers 14:24, my servant Caleb, because he had a different spirit and has fully followed me. You know, the thing of Caleb, when he went into the promised land, he was basically saying, bring it on. It's like, give me the land of the giants, because I'm going to go in and take it. And even when he was in his 80s, he was still strong going in and out to battle and to war and overcoming. Because it's not about age. Joshua generation can have people in it who are 80, 90, 100. It's like, it's not about age, it's about attitude. They had a different attitude, a different spirit, a militant spirit, just like Jesus said, the violent take the kingdom by force. It's breakthrough spirit. Those who are willing to be those of the breakthrough, the breaker spirit, who will break open so that people can come in and receive. And God is calling us to do that because we need to follow God fully. Not partially, but fully. And you're going to take a militant spirit, a breakthrough spirit, to push through to the dimensions we need to push through. And we need to be prepared for that. Joshua generation, number 8, will be sensitive to and feel grief over sin. We don't look back at a previous generation and actually think, oh, that was tough on them. We look at people who are still needing to come in, and over the church in general, we have to have an attitude of intercession, an attitude to stand in the gap, not of pride, but a willingness to see more and more people drawn in. And where we see the church as an institution in sin, our spirit needs to be moved by that. Be moved to act. And in Numbers 14:6 says, Joshua and Caleb, those who spied at them, they tore their clothes. When the others were saying, we're not entering in, they tore their clothes because they were so moved. We need to be those who do the same. Joshua generation will be men and women of the Spirit. Numbers 27:18. The Lord said to Moses, take Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit. We need to be men and women of the Spirit of God. We need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit in fullness and continually being so. It's not a one-off experience. We need daily to be filled, to be overflowing, to be operating in the dimensions of the Spirit. That's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's the glory that's manifested through the Holy Spirit. We need to go up to whole different dimensions on that. That's why I did the teaching on those five rivers that were present with us, that we could enter into the river and be rebaptized into our born-again experience, into our baptism in water experience, into our baptism of the Spirit experience, into the baptism of fire experience and the baptism of glory experience that we need to continually enter in. It's not a one-off. There's an ongoing relationship with the Holy Spirit who's going to take us to new dimensions, take us to higher realms. He's going to reveal things to us because he's there as the Spirit of truth who will bring us into all truth. He's there, the Holy Spirit, to disclose those things that are going to come. If you want to go into that whole realm of the Spirit, men and women of the Spirit, read John chapter 12 to chapter 17. It's all about the dimension of the Holy Spirit, of being connected to and flowing in the Spirit of God. So much more in that. Joshua, in number 10, were chosen and anointed and commissioned by God for the task. God, I can't remember how it was probably a couple of years ago now, I shared with some of you that God had just given me these words about investiture and coronation and enthronement and different things. And I brought those words, and at the time I thought I really don't understand quite what this is about, but I've kept those words in my heart, and God has continued to give me revelation of that. And you know, I've prayed over quite a few people with new and fresh mantles of authority. I've been to the mantle room in heaven. There are rows and rows and rows of mantles, which are mantles of authority and power. Some are mantles of old people who've come in the past, people like Smith Wigglesworth and some of those guys, Maria Woodworth Etter and people like that, who have carried something of the authority in the supernatural realm. And there's a whole load of those mantles that are going to be released, but a whole load more. Some of the wells of past generations are going to be unblocked and going to flow, but also there's going to be new wells that are dug and new mantles released. New levels of authority, where people are going to be doing things that you can't imagine or think. Some of the battles that are going to take place, that we need to be anointed because we're chosen and we're going to be commissioned. And the investiture is just the first part of that commissioning process. Because like when Prince Charles was invested with authority to be the future king, he's still a prince at the moment. You know, actually there's more things to come beyond that which God is going to give us revelation of. And in the scriptures there, Numbers 27:18, lay your hand on Joshua, have him stand before the priest, Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and commission him in their sight. You shall put some of your authority on him. God is going to release more of his authority onto his people, and it's going to be like a commissioning to into a whole different realm. Number 11, Joshua generation will be equipped to enable the next generation to possess the land. Deuteronomy 1:38, Joshua the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall enter there and encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit. We have to cause others to inherit. You know, this generation that's going to be saved, who are going to be the laborers for the future, we have to cause them to inherit. We have to enable them, to disciple them. Discipleship in the supernatural is going to be so important in these days, to encourage people to inherit everything, not to stand short of what the fullness of their inheritance is. Number 12, the Joshua generation will witness the awesome overcoming power of God. And there are going to be things that we see. We've seen quite a lot of things over the last couple of years in terms of the power of God, signs and wonders and different miracles and things that we've seen. You know, they're really just little things in comparison to some of the things that are coming. Deuteronomy 3:20, do not fear them. And that's talking about the things that we're going to fight against. For the Lord your God is the one fighting for you. O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your strong hand. For what God is there in heaven on earth who can do such works and mighty acts as yours? No one can counterfeit the true power and authority of Almighty God. And as Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal and called down fire from heaven, some of you guys are going to challenge the prophets of Baal in our generation. You're going to challenge some of the workers in the occult realms and in the New Age realms to a test of authority and power. And our God wins. Therefore you win. You overcome and you demonstrate true spiritual authority and power. It's going to be pretty awesome stuff, but we're going to win if we step out learning to the things that we've already done, seeing those, not despise the day of small things, but see it as a time of preparation for the things that are coming. Number 13, Joshua generation will be strong and courageous. Now we're going to need to be strong and courageous. There's no point being strong and courageous if there's nothing to fear or to overcome. There are giants. There are giants in the second heaven. There are fallen angels in the second heaven who are dimensions of authority and power, who operate in second heaven realms. There are Nephilim spirits that operate in the first heaven realm, who operate in the continental plates, who operate in mountains. They operate in places of authority that we have to overcome. We have to slay those giants, those dragons, and we have to see what they are holding back from the people of God released. Because they rob the people of God of true identity and inheritance. And we're going to see them released. Deuteronomy 31:7 there it says, Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. God is with us. He's going before us. He's preparing the way, and he's going to be with each of you in this fight and in this battle. But there are going to be things that we really do have to face. Some of the spiritual dimension things, even in this realm that we have to face, are going to spook a lot of people. Because some of the things, if you've been into some of the third world countries and you've seen spiritual warfare firsthand, you'll know what I mean. Some of the things you see there, when you see deliverance and challenges to the witch doctors and the things like that, they shapeshift, They change in front of you. There's when the big ministry teams go over there and they start ministering to this, they have what's called the snake pit, in which people are placed and they all get around and they minister to them. Literally, some of those guys, they change into serpents and different things. You know, werewolves and vampires and all that sort of stuff. There's a lot of things in the media and all that stuff on TV, which makes it seem very acceptable. Almost like, well, it's good to have werewolves and vampires. You know, they're good, actually. The reality is, some of these things we will have to face, because some of the spiritual power that the enemy has will operate in that dimension, but we have authority over them. You know, it's, you know, when I've seen some of the things in third world countries, they've been pretty wild. And I think there's going to be a lot more to come, particularly when, you know, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the days of the Son of Man type of thing. Those Nephilim type things, that whole revelation of that, we're going to need to be equipped to be able to handle some of the things that are coming. And we'll look at that in the future, I think. 14, Joshua's generation will be filled with the spirit of wisdom. We desperately need the wisdom of God to know what to do in the face of some of the things we will see. We need to know the truth and we need to know the wisdom, and that will give us an equipping. It's like we are connected to the God who knows all things. God is before all things. Therefore, we have a heads up on the future, and we can have a heads up on everything that the enemy's planning so that we can be ready to overcome it. Deuteronomy 34:9 there. Joshua, the son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom, for Moses laid his hands on him, and the sons of Israel listened to him as and did as the Lord commanded Moses. There's going to be an authority that comes with that wisdom that's going to inspire people to actually press in and inspire people to receive their inheritance. 15, Joshua's generation will meditate on God's word day and night. And this is a key passage there, Joshua 1:8, which we'll draw several things out of. It says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have success. Meditating on the word is a key to entering into the spiritual realms, entering in to understanding how to access the realms of heaven, being able to see the word of God as a doorway into the realms of the spirit through meditation. Again, meditation has obviously been something that's been tabooed in the church because of transcendental meditation and Eastern meditation, which empties people's minds. Biblical meditation fills people's minds. Filled with the truth, learning to engage the eyes of your heart, your spiritual imagination, so that you can see into the realms of heaven on earth. You can start seeing into the realms of the kingdom through our natural eyes. When we start seeing the Holy Spirit moving on people, start seeing the realms of angels and demons, when you can start seeing them in a realm, it's going to come as we learn to meditate, as we learn to open up our spirit to that realm of God's purposes, the eyes of our heart being enlightened. 16, the Joshua generation will be obedient to God's direction. From that same passage, be strong and courageous, be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. We need to be careful. With greater revelation comes greater responsibility. You can't mess with this stuff. As I've said before, those who mess with this stuff, when they enter into this realm, the Ananias and Sapphira situations where people lie to the Holy Spirit and drop down dead, will take place again. Because the level of holiness and the level of revelation that we're going to enter into is going to go up lots of scales, so that we're able to operate in the fullness of God's power. But if those who turn and go back and are not careful to do, there's a danger. And we don't want to make sure that we're not in danger. Therefore, we need to do everything that God's calling us to do. Not out of fear, but out of love. We're a people who know our God and love Him, and therefore want to serve Him out of love. We want to do everything He's calling us to do out of our love and our passion and our desire for Him. 17, Joshua's generation will be prosperous and successful. See, if we're able to meditate and get that revelation from God, and if we're able to do carefully the things that God reveals to us, it will give us success. We will learn to overcome. We will learn to prosper. Now, prosper is not just about financial things. It's about prospering, it's succeeding to the highest level. Therefore, in the realms of the Spirit, we need to succeed to the highest level, into wisdom and revelation, to the highest level. And as a result of that, we will be successful, we will overcome, even though everything round about us, you know, may be falling apart. When the world's financial systems crash, we've seen again what can happen in the last few days, what can happen in the financial system over just a report. All of a sudden, things collapse because of fear. All that system, we must be able to live in the realms of God's kingdom and His kingdom finances and learn to live. We may well need to operate in miracles and multiply things and do things which Jesus did. Jesus was able to say, go and take that fish, and in the fish there was a coin that was able to pay their taxes. You know, we want not just coins, we want wads of 100 pound notes or 50 pound notes or whatever, but it's like there may be occasions where we will do that and supernaturally we will receive finance. That's why Jesus did it as a model for what we should do, because we need to do the things Jesus did and greater things. So that all this stuff is part of a generation who are willing to press in and receive. The Joshua generation, number 18, will know that they walk with God. This is the daily lifestyle that we need to have. Joshua 1 verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Where we're walking on the path that God's prepared for us, for our destiny, we need to know our destiny, we need to know what's written on our scroll. God is with us. We have the assurance that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and that's, to be honest, just daily life. Daily life is the valley of the shadow of death. But He is with us, His rod and His staff, the Word and the Spirit, they comfort us. He anoints us. Our cup overflows. Psalm 23 is such a key to this walking with God lifestyle. I encourage you, meditate on it. Get the truth of it. Start walking in it, because God is with us. And because He's with us, surely goodness and mercy and loving kindness will follow us. They will be part of us. Number 19, Joshua generation will be equipped to prepare provisions to live by faith. Joshua 1:11 says, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. We have to teach people to be able to live under the provision of God and prepare provisions for themselves. Each person needs to be equipped with the weapons that they need, with the revelation they need, with the lifestyle that they need, with their relationship with God to take the land and take possession. You know, you're responsible to possess your inheritance. Each person needs to be equipped, and therefore we need to equip people to be prepared for everything that they need in what God's called them to do. And the last one, Joshua generation will equip people to be consecrated or sanctified, set apart, dedicated and holy. In Joshua 3:5, Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders amongst you. This is where we are. This is the process they were at Gilgal, where they dealt with the things from the past. They embraced the revelation, fresh revelation of the things that they'd let go of, and they were consecrated and set apart for the purposes of God for their generation. You know, I want my epitaph to be, if Jesus doesn't return in my lifetime, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, I want it to be like David. He served the purpose of God in his generation. And I want to serve the purpose of God and fulfill my destiny in this generation that I'm called to be part of. And I believe God wants to raise up a generation who are going to do the same. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders amongst you. Okay, are you ready to be part of the Joshua generation? Or are you ready to be equipped by the Joshua generation, wherever you might be? Answer the question yourself and get hold of those 20 things and press in. And next week, I'll give you the next 20.